from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back to hour number 2 of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number 2, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Your calls coming up. But before we get to that, we're going to have a U.S. Women's National Soccer Team update. So if you are not wanting spoilers, turn down your computer, turn down your radio. For the next 30 seconds, we're going to talk about what's happening in the U.S. women's national team game against Germany. That is the semifinal in the Olympics. Spoiler alert coming in 3, 2, and 1. We've got a goal, ladies and gentlemen. USA 1, Germany nothing in the first extra time period. Sophie Smith bangs home a sweet ass goal.
Oh yeah, it was very nice.
Yeah, really, really, really nice touch. I think it was Mal Swanson had a just beautiful touch up to Smith, and then Smith, right as the keeper and the defender got there, got a boot on the ball and got it up over the keeper, and now the U.S. on the break again, looking to make it 2-0. It wouldn't be a game without a Trinity Rodman goal. So,
she tried there. Sick. Yeah, the momentum has totally changed. Yeah. In this game, totally changed.
Which is crazy because usually team scores an extra time and they go into a shell as the opposing team then just starts just full-blown attacking, and it's the U.S. On the attack again. So, okay, that's what's happening in the U.S. women's national team game against Germany. Again, we are in the first period of extra time there.
And it does look France is going to beat Canada in basketball. It's 80-73, 6.1 seconds remaining. Lou Dort has fouled Evan Fournier to send him to the line. Yeah, that's crazy.
You know, you really feel for Dylan Brooks in a time like this. you feel bad for the guy. He just goes out there, puts his nose to the grindstone, gets his work done, doesn't bother anybody. He's just out there trying to hoop.
Quietly going about his business.
Never hear a word out of him. That's great. I don't mind characters like Dylan Brooks in the league. I really don't. The dirty stuff trying to hurt people is not my favorite.
Yeah.
But the villains in the league, I think, are good. Because, they're going to talk trash and they win, and then when they lose, we get to have fun with it.
No, I totally agree.
What'd you say? He went 1-for-9?
Yeah, he was 1-for-9 and 0-for-3 from 3.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Tough scene. Although, do you think Canada would have been a tougher matchup for Team USA than France? I know they have more NBA guys.
I don't know. I think France is... I do think that Canada would have been a tougher matchup.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think you do have like Anthony Davis. You got a couple of guys.
You got Bam Embiid
to defend Wembanyama.
Okay.
Yeah. No, France is gonna be tough. So as of right now, it looks like Thursday Germany and France will play each other, and the winner of the United States versus Brazil game will play Serbia on Thursday. So we have USA Brazil today, 12:15 or 12:30.
12:30. Yep.
Yeah, it should be. It should be a fun game.
Yeah, Serbia today beat Australia in overtime, 95-90. And again, if you're on hold, hang in there. We'll get to your calls momentarily. Just a quick Olympics update. Serbia 95, Australia 90 in overtime. Serbia was down 24 points in the first half in that one. Battled all the way. Patty Mills, 26 for Australia.
Oh.
Just out there cooking. Love it for Patty Mills. Bogdan Bogdanovic, old friend, 17 points. Nikola Jokic, 21 points, 14 rebounds. And you already mentioned they will play the winner of USA-Brazil later today. Kings legend Bruno Caboclo on the floor for Brazil.
Have we finally got past the 2 years away from 2 years away?
It's time for him to prove that he's a problem.
Yeah, talk about, like, still.
What do you have against Japan? 33 and 18?
33 and 18. He's 6'9 with a 7'7" wingspan. He's still only, what do we say, 28 years old? It's just wild.
You see why he was always the 2 years away from 2 years away guy, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was always the, but, like, you see why when he goes for 33 and 18 with the measurables that you just said, and he's only 28. Might parlay this into a little NBA contract. Can he play the four next to Domas? I'm just asking questions. Just asking questions.
It's wild. I just can't believe it's been 7 years since Bruno Caboclo played in Sacramento.
Time doesn't count anymore.
It's just absolutely wild. Just absolutely wild. Nuts.
What did I say, like 4 years? I was like, oh, is he on the team like 4 years ago?
Yeah.
No.
No, it was a long time ago.
No, not four.
Yeah. That's funny.
What did I...
According to Drew Down in the chat, USA is favored by 26.
Against Brazil?
Yeah.
Not if Warriors legend Gui Santos has anything to say about it.
That's right. Gui Santos.
Gui Santos' social media manager. I don't know who. I don't know if a player of Gui Santos' cachet has a social media manager.
Yeah.
But just randomly, I didn't even follow him on Instagram, randomly just sent me a message, like a video, like a funny video.
Okay.
And I was like, why are you, Gui Santos, sending me a funny video?
Don't click on the video, Kyle.
Like it's like a reel. Like it was legit. And they were like, oh, sorry. It's like, sure.
Okay.
So I'm just a Gui Santos guy because I love the idea that he's just flying around just messaging randos funny reels that he finds on Instagram.
Well, you probably should have, struck up a conversation, got him on the show.
I tried.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to, oh my God, hey, I'm a huge fan. Like, I don't know. He plays basketball like he's wearing jeans. And I didn't know how to convey that. He does, dude. You ever played pickup and a guy rolls in wearing jeans?
Oh, yeah.
Don't mess with that guy. Is going to play hard. Not a guy I want smoke with.
No, that's right.
916-909-1320. 916-909-1320 is the number. Don, you're on the Insiders with Kyle and James. What's up?
What's up, Kyle? What's up, James? It's Don from the River Cats.
So Don, hey.
Both of you guys throw out the first pitch, and I want to say you both threw out some of the most respectable first pitches I've seen.
This is big time for us. Yeah, thank you. And Don, I appreciate you coming down before the game that I was at to say hello. That was great. It was really, really great to meet you.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't realize that I was holding food the whole time, and I was like, "Oh wait, I'm holding food. I should probably not be on the field right now. My bad."
No, just drop a hot dog down there. Someone will pick it up later.
That's right.
Yeah, was that a family Tuesday? I probably should have bought like 5 hot dogs and just brought them all down to the field, started handing them out to all the cat crew. Those people do a wonderful, wonderful job.
Yeah, they sure do.
Yeah, I was out there with the Marvel characters and the Iron Man wearing that gigantic suit in like 105, 106 degree heat. I don't know how he made it through. It's crazy.
I mean, that's one of those suits that you can like hide an AC unit in, though. I don't know if you can hide one of those in Dinger.
Oh.
Like, Dinger's probably soaking up that suit every time he's going out there, and I feel so bad.
Hey, you know it's rancid in there, dude.
Oh, yeah, it's not a good smelling costume.
Don, you got anything on the Kings offseason?
I love it. I was looking back through it and realizing this is one of the first off seasons I've seen since maybe we got De'Aaron Fox, where it felt like every position, and to be fair, when we got De'Aaron Fox, it was a not very good team that had just traded DeMarcus Cousins. Right. But it felt like every player we got was an upgrade over the year before. No offense to Davion, no offense to Sasha, no offense to Harrison Barnes. Love all those guys, but I feel like Devin Carter is an upgrade. I feel like guy we traded for, McDaniels, is an upgrade, even though he's probably not even going to play. Sasha didn't really play either. And I feel like, most of all, DeMar is a huge upgrade over Harrison Barnes. I feel like everything we got made our team better, and I just don't understand why the national media isn't seeing that.
Yeah, good point. Don, appreciate the call, man. Thank you. I would tend to agree. Like, they're just, that's what we talked about. Did they make a perfect move? No.
Yeah.
But they just got better, dude. That's what I said. I can't get on the radio and ask them to get better, and then when they get better, flambé them for not getting more better.
No, I totally. Yeah.
Better team than they were.
I totally agree. They are a better team than they were last year, and I expect them to win more games than they did last year.
Yep.
And I agree with the fit. You know, I really do think that having Devin Carter would have changed my overall projection on them right now. The fact that he's going to miss a good portion of the season.
Yep.
It does hurt them. Like, I think that that's a player that really could have, like, fit in and just given them more versatility, more depth.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, I like DeRozan. He averaged literally double what Harrison Barnes did last year.
Yeah, they're
in
just
almost
more versatile.
Every category. Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they're just a more dangerous roster for sure.
Yeah.
Don, you're on the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. What's up?
What's going on, guys?
Chilling.
What's happening?
You guys got me?
Yep. We got you.
Oh, cool. I just want to touch on the offseason real quick. One thing that I feel like gets a little overlooked that I've been really impressed with also is the contracts that actually McNair has been able to get with these guys. I mean, getting Malik Monk at the rate that we are, I think, is a steal. And even DeRozan, when you put up his numbers against someone like, let's say, a Paul George, they're pretty comparable. But the contract that we got DeRozan for is just so much better. So, you know, just that makes me impressed with what McNair was able to do. And then the reason why I'm not too upset about missing out on Markkanen is, if you think about Markkanen when he was for the Bulls, you know, I'm sure they wish they would have kept him and waited on him a little bit longer to see how he developed. And I feel the same way about Keegan. You know, him learning behind DeRozan, I really think he has the intangibles to be maybe a future all-star, and I wanted to see how you guys thought about that.
Right on. Thanks, Don. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
My one pushback with that, like, I see the vision. I don't, I can't say it won't happen or will. I guess to play devil's advocate here, I think that you could also argue that having another player who is so ball dominant could wind up taking opportunities away from Keegan, where in a spot where you're wanting him to put the ball on the deck and you're wanting him to create more, he's just not going to get those in-game reps, where if that's the case over the next like 2 or 3 years, now you're running into Keegan Murray being 26, 27 years old.
And kind of capping out.
And but like I said, I don't lean heavily one way or the other on maybe I think there's just here. Maybe there's just equal chance that being with DeRozan in a spot where he's been a guy with the ball in his hands and is a playmaker, maybe Keegan does pick things up from him. Maybe he does learn to pick his spots a little better.
I hope so. And I would say this too. Number one, like, we talk about the fact that, you know, that last year Harrison Barnes averaged 12 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, you know, DeMar DeRozan is coming off a season where he averaged 24. The other thing is that the assist totals are so different. I mean, I think Harrison Barnes got down to like 1.3 assists per game or something this last season. And DeMar DeRozan's over 5.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I don't think that there will be a game throughout the entire year, or at least most of the year, where Keegan Murray is a defensive focal point for the other team. I think you're going to start with De'Aaron Fox. You're going to go to DeMar DeRozan. You're going to go to Domantas Sabonis as your top three that you're sort of, you know, hedging towards.
Mm-hmm.
I think Keegan Murray will have unlimited open opportunities. It's whether those guys who are you got three good passers on the court at all times, it feels like, with this team, mm-hmm. and at least two at all times when you bring Monk off the bench and one of those guys, two of those guys goes to the bench. Keegan Murray should have unlimited opportunities to shoot wide open looks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's going to have a lot of driving and dribbling sure. and all the sure. you know the other opportunities. And I also don't think that there's going to be a time where you pull or he's going to be the number one option on the mm-hmm. court offensively. But that doesn't mean he's not going to have like gimmies.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's for where sure. I think he can really, really excel and sort of grow into who he's going to be and listen to a different voice. Like he's Harrison Barnes was one of the biggest voices behind the scenes mm-hmm. with this group. But, you know, De'Aaron Fox has a huge relationship with Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm. And you're hoping that just adding in another voice that can maybe help push him over the top is a good thing.
Yeah, I'd hope so. I'm crossing my fingers for sure, but our last caller was talking about like an all-NBA type of leap for Keegan Murray. And if he's guy who stands around in the corner and waits for the kick out, like that's just...
Yeah.
I think you're going to elevate to... we're talking about two separate things here, though. That may not elevate him to all-NBA, but he might be super freaking valuable for the Kings.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If he's going to shoot 40% on... And if he's in the corner, he's probably going to shoot higher than that on catch and shoots in the corner. And he's going to shoot for the season 40%+ from three. You'll take that, whether he's creating or not. So maybe we don't see a growth in his game from that like shot creation standpoint. But if you've changed the calculus of your roster where you're not needing that from him,
yeah,
I think he can be more valuable for your team, even if he's not turning into a player that gets nationally recognized as a, wow, that's a top 15 guy in the NBA. That's a huge leap.
Yes.
Like being an all-NBA guy is a major, major leap to take. And there's 15 guys, and you can pencil in Luka Doncic and when I need to think of good young, Jason Tatum, maybe Jaylen Brown now moving forward. There's so many good young players in the league who are just penciled into those spots for now.
Yeah, they're actually written in pen.
Yeah, there's like, what, probably like eight open spots
yes,
for all-NBA,
yeah.
realistically.
And some of those are like your own guy, like Domantas Sabonis.
Right,
I mean,
right.
even like Sabonis this season, he's going to have a very difficult time making all-NBA if Anthony Davis and Embiid and Jokic
sure.
all qualify.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because of Victor Wembanyama.
Really good point.
That dude's coming for like one of those spots. Like it's not going to be very long until he's a perennial all-pro.
I don't want to say undervaluing. What's it? I hate the phrase, are we talking about thing XYZ enough? Because nobody is sleeping on Victor Wembanyama. But are we not discussing his potential impact this year enough?
Oh, my God.
In the West?
I mean, just in case you forgot,
please.
21.4 points. 10.6 rebounds, 3.9 assists, 1.2 steals, 3.6 blocks per game as a rookie. He shot 32.5% from three, which will go up. He shot 46.5% from the field, which is going to skyrocket.
Yeah.
Like when the bad mid-range jump shots go away, that dude is going to be one of the best, if not the best player in the NBA. Like the all-around game is stunning.
He might be there like 2 years from now.
2 years from now. Yeah,
maybe
but
three. Maybe three.
He's going to already... He was first-team All-NBA defender. Like, he was second in Defensive Player of the Year as a rookie. Again, 3.6 blocks, 1.2 steals. That's just absolutely crazy. So, yeah, I think that there's going to be a point where, like, he's unstoppable. And I think that they've done a good job of going and doing two things. I mean... You brought in Chris Paul to run the point and to help him grow and to mature and to get him wide open looks. And you brought in Harrison Barnes, who is, again, a very good leader and a guy willing to take a specific role to help him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you just brought in a really, really good shooter from three. So I don't know if that team's going to take a leap, but I know he's going to take a leap. And we're going to, you know, I'm here for it. Like, this is going to be fun to watch.
Victor Wembanyama pre All-Star break. Here we go. This is what I was looking for. 28.4 minutes a game, 20.5 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. Pre All-Star break. with 156 blocks in 49 games. I don't know what that comes out to.
Three.
Three-ish a game. Post All-Star break, 23.5 points, 12 boards, 5.3 assists, 98 blocks in 22 games.
Wow.
Over four per game.
Like 4.5 a game. That's a lot.
Ridiculous.
Holy cow.
Like there's it is on the table that Victor Wembanyama this year averages like 27, 13, and 6 on 4.5 blocks a game.
Yeah.
And again, the Spurs aren't very good. I think they got better this offseason for sure with Barnes and with Chris Paul. But they won 22 games last year?
Yeah. That team is prime though. Like if you go out there and you make the right smart moves, they've got picks. They've got opportunities.
They won 22, and I know Victor was trying to win all last year. I don't know how much the Spurs were trying to win necessarily.
Yeah.
The thing is they would 46 wins was the back of the play in. I don't think they're going to win 24 more games this year.
Yeah. No.
But I just that's to say I don't or I'm sorry 20 yeah 24 more games. I don't think they're going to go in and be a factor in the playoffs certainly and or even in the play-in, but I think they could be a problem. Like Denver was the 2 seed because they lost to San Antonio like the second to last day of the year.
Mm.
And that's where I could see San Antonio being an issue, where you're in a gotta have it game and you're facing San Antonio, and yeah, it's April and they have 29 wins, but man, they're really hard to beat.
Yeah,
that's what I think San Antonio is going to be.
San Antonio is going to be. I mean. He's going to be so incredible that I don't know. I don't know how far he can take you.
That's what Kenny and I were talking about this before his game here in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Kenny Caraway, D'Lo and Casey coming up at noon. And we kind of went, hey, what is this guy's max look like? What is a peak Victor Wembanyama year look like?
We have no idea.
No, Kenny was like 30, 15, 6, and 5 blocks a game?
We have no idea what it is.
Every number sounds insane, but also every number feels feasible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's crazy.
It's going to be spectacular to watch.
That's James. I'm Kyle. Jiffy Lube sponsors the program. We'll have an update, Team USA women's national team update here for you in a bit. We'll let you know when that's coming if you don't want spoilers so you can turn your radio down. I did not realize Detroit missed the playoffs by 50 games. No, I'm sorry. They were 50 games out of first at the end of last year.
Oof.
That's a funny number to see. I was just looking at the standings.
That's wild.
The Sacramento RiverCats, AAA team for the San Francisco Giants. They have a game on August 16th. We're going to be there in a suite, and we're inviting you to come hang out in that suite with us. ESPN1320.com is the website where you can enter to win 2 tickets to that suite. Go to ESPN1320.com. You'll find the contest page and enter the keyword Giants.
Mm.
As in the San Francisco Giants, the New York Giants. We were Giants.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? We were Giants?
Yeah.
Is it?
I think it's a band.
Is it a band? Young the Giant is a band.
Oh, I don't know. Little Giant, the movie.
Oh, Little Giants. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
I got really into Young the Giant when I first started writing in 2017. I'd never written like professionally before. I'd done some contributor work at Niners Wire, but they were launching Titans Wire. And the guy who ran the Wire sites liked my contributions at Niners Wire, so he gave me the Titans site. And I had never done this before, and I had no idea what I was doing. So I'd just go to Starbucks for like 8 hours a day. And I would just open my computer, I'd just start writing, and I listened to a lot of Young the Giant.
Mm.
That was just my go-to writing music. Haven't listened to him before, haven't listened to him since. But from like March of 2017 through like October of 2017, your boy was a big Young the Giant guy.
All right.
They're nice. I think you'll like them. They're good.
Okay.
All right.
I'll check him out.
I hope so. No news on Brandon Ayuk.
We're just sitting in a holding pattern, yeah. Waiting. Waiting.
Ooh. Real quick, if you missed the news from last night on Brandon Ayuk, real quick, we'll reset that. The 49ers have trades in place with the Browns and Patriots. Basically, if Ayuk works out an extension and says yes to going to one of those teams, then the deal would be done, and that's where he'll get traded. But Matt Maiocco of NBC Sports, who made that report, also said on a couple of different radio programs yesterday that if Brandon Ayuk wanted to play for the Browns, the deal would have been done already.
Mm.
Like, the Browns have a contract on the table that's commensurate with what he wants.
Wow.
But he may just not want to go to the Browns. And it wouldn't surprise me if it was the same for New England. So that's kind of an interesting aspect of this. But again, no news on that just yet. I think the next news we're going to hear is either he's traded or he's signed. I think that's kind of the next news we'll hear. But there's also one more option, but we'll get to that in the next segment. Did you see what Tim Reynolds of the AP said or reported?
Yes.
Yeah, dude. A FIBA NBA crossover league or annual tournament, talks are ramping up between the NBA and FIBA for having some kind of crossover league or tournament in the vein of what are some of the ones in the Champions League?
So the EPL, the English Premier League, they have that Carabao Cup, they have the FA Cup, and then they're all competing to get into the Champions League or the Euro League.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the top four teams play in the Champions League, the next four teams play in Euro League, but you can bounce somebody out of that by winning one of the cups. So like during their regular season, they have these games out of nowhere against a team that you wouldn't...
From a different league.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times it's from your league. Sometimes it's from like a lower league. One of the cups is kind of like what the Republic go into every year, this cup for the MLS. The
Lamar Hunt Open.
Yeah, the Open Cup where they're playing against. So sometimes you might play like a lower level team.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in the Champions League, sometimes you might even play a team that got in the Champions League in a different type of mm-hmm. league somewhere around Europe. And so, I mean, these things actually happen and they work, but they're more... I don't know. It depends on the level of competition. So you might not see all of the stars playing in the early rounds of like the FA Cup. Like they just like if they have a game on Sunday, they got a game on Wednesday, they got another game on Sunday.
Jeez.
They might like not have all of their top tier guys play on that Wednesday, especially early stages. But I don't know. Like maybe it'll work. I thought the in-season tournament was really cool last year.
Yeah.
And it would be like another version of that.
Yeah.
But just with some European teams.
Right, like new players, different teams, different strategies.
Yeah.
I want to keep talking about this when we come back next. I've also got a couple of more Brandon Ayuk things to get to. And the handoff, Damian Barling will be in with us coming up in about 15 minutes right here on the Insiders on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Got an Olympics update for you. If you don't want to know the score of the U.S. Women's National Team soccer match against Germany, turn your radio and computer down for like 15 seconds. Spoiler coming in 3, 2, 1. Big winners, the U.S. Women's National Team over Germany. Heck of a game by both sides. The U.S. Gets the 1-0 victory. They are on to the gold medal match.
Yeah, they will play either Spain or Brazil on Saturday for gold.
Dang. Can't wait. Speaking of playing Brazil, the U.S. men's basketball team plays Brazil coming up at 12:30. I've been really loving these Olympics for several reasons. There's been great stories and great games and events. A ton of good like comebacks and upsets and all this stuff. Watching D'Lo and KC, or listening to D'Lo and KC while a basketball game is happening, men's or women's, is really fun.
Is it?
Yes.
All right.
It's just a watch party. That's what it is. So starting at noon, stay locked in here and just enjoy, even if you're listening, because they'll be having a conversation, but it's just two dudes watching basketball and talking about the game together.
Yep.
It's so much fun. Highly recommend listening. Anyways, that's James. I'm Kyle. Hello. Keyword is Giants at ESPN1320.com. If you want to win two tickets to the Rivercats game on Friday, August 16th, we have a suite. ESPN1320 does. We have a suite. You're invited. And you can win your tickets at ESPN1320.com. Keyword is Giants. We were talking about the potential FIBA-NBA crossover league,
mm-hmm,
or annual tournament. And we'll also have a Brandon Ayuk update for you here in a bit. Where are we at?
So
a couple things with this. One, I would be really interested to see if they did this, if they just did a straight up like in-season FIBA NBA crossover tournament thing. I don't know what but let's just, for the sake of ease, we'll just say that's what it is, just straight across Team A versus Team B.
Okay.
I would be really interested to see if they play FIBA or NBA rules.
Oh.
That would be super fascinating.
Yeah.
And to see if the NBA uses it as a... Because I don't think they would ever adopt full FIBA rules. Like Victor Wembanyama or Rudy Gobert with the ability to goaltend and camp out in the paint would be silly.
That would be crazy.
That would be dumb. That would be a dumb sport.
Well, it'd be really difficult for the U.S. players to adapt on the fly. So, like, when you're building up to the Olympics, you're mm-hmm. going to a couple of training camps, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right.
As Team USA, and you're playing with some of those rules. So, you can't just goaltend everything, but once the ball hits the rim, you're able to swat it off the rim.
Right.
And so, yeah, I don't know. I think it's intriguing to see how it might play out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you might have to see if they do something like have a, like, almost like you have to qualify for it. So mm-hmm. maybe 8 U.S. teams qualify.
Yeah.
And then you play against 8 of the highest caliber teams from, you know, from around the world, whether it's like, again, like Fenerbahce mm-hmm. is always great. Mm-hmm. And then Olympiacos, where mm-hmm. Sasha's playing, is always really good. Spain has a couple of, you know, tremendous teams that are historically great.
Mm-hmm. But Barcelona's always really good.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to see what it is, how you're piecing it together, and and who makes a tournament, who doesn't.
Yeah, I have a couple of more things on this. This is lose-lose for the NBA to me, though. Like, it's a fun idea.
Yeah.
But, okay, so they either go out there and they smoke whoever the FIBA competition is, and everybody goes, yeah, duh, they're the NBA. Or the gap between the NBA and the rest of the world is a lot closer than everybody thinks it is.
Mm.
And all of a sudden, that makes the NBA look bad.
Yeah, I think it's interesting too, because like, how are you going to do travel? And does that mean that USA teams are going to have to go overseas to play?
Right.
And like, sure, that will grow the brand for sure. Mm-hmm. But also, like, how are you going to do that in the middle of the season? Like, when are these games going to be played?
Right.
It's almost like I wish they would do something more like the friendlies that we see in European soccer,
sure,
where, like, you know, Man U comes over here and plays.
Wrexham and Chelsea just played at Levi's.
Yeah, exactly, mm-hmm, exactly. So where you're seeing just like European soccer, but again, the first half is usually some of the starters.
Mm-hmm.
The second half is usually a bunch of young guys.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I would love to see something like that, but the NBA doesn't really like ask their teams to stay together once the season's over and you have free agency and you have everything else, right? So like, when would you fit something like that in if you're an NBA team? And the answer is you don't. Like, there's too many question marks and you don't want guys getting hurt.
You'd almost have to treat it like the World Baseball Classic, where it happens every couple of years. And maybe the top four teams from the in-season tournament for the NBA go to this World Basketball Classic or whatever, the FIBA NBA Challenge.
Yeah.
And then the top four teams from various leagues across Europe go, and maybe it's something like that where it's every couple of years you're going to have to play, like in the Olympics, you're going to have to play some extra games.
Yeah. And, you know, like European soccer, like EPL League, they have breaks during the season where they're off for like a week and a half, 2 weeks for international play. So there is a way that you could do it, but I don't think the NBA is going to budge on an 82 game schedule to fit in some games against lower level talent.
Yeah.
And not to be disrespectful, but it is like
the best, they believe it is.
Yeah, the best players in the world play in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at the mixture of players in the NBA, but it's wild, like how, you know, players from all over the world play here.
Yeah.
And it is. This is the best league in the world. And that's, you know, kind of goes back to the, you know, if you win the NBA championship, are you world champions question?
Shout out to Noah Lyles.
Yeah, Noah Lyles asked. And the answer is, yeah, you pretty much are. Like, the best team in the NBA is going to mop the floor with almost any other team in the league, in the world.
Yeah.
I don't even think it's going to be close. So.
I think I agree. But like I said, maybe they get into a FIBA type game and the playing field is leveled. I don't know.
Yeah. I know someone brings up that they do play a couple like exhibition games. Like, you know, the Kings went to India a few years ago. The Warriors have gone to China.
Mm-hmm.
But those are like built into preseason. It's like two preseason games out of your schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And you start training camp a week earlier than everybody else. So you can go take care of those and do the travel. Although when the Kings played in India, they did not get that extra week. And like, I thought that team really struggled to recover like the first 25 games of the season.
Yeah, I think, and maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just a rotating every year, two, three, four teams get that extra week to prepare and they go over and a couple of their preseason games are against FIBA teams. Maybe it's something like that, but I don't think they'd want it to be exhibition.
Yeah.
I think they'd want it to be like a quote unquote real game.
Huh?
I don't know.
It'd be interesting. Extremely. There's lots of way to do this.
It feels like though Adam Silver is big on the European soccer model, which kind of makes me wonder if at some point it may not be in our lifetimes, but I do wonder at some point if the NBA just goes to the full-blown European soccer model of, we're not tying our sport to academics. You can play the AAU circuit, and if a team signs you, so the Kings identify a 14-year-old that they're like, man, this kid's awesome. We love that. He's in our program now. Mm-hmm. He's on the Kings AAU team.
Like the Republic did with the kid last year where they signed the 13-year-old.
Yes. And yeah. he's in your program now.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of wonder if that's the direction they head eventually.
I doubt it because of the salary and you know, again, labor laws in America are slightly different and things, but I also think like you're opening a door for like the richest teams to get so much richer. And maybe they don't, and you don't have a development squad like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like there isn't a 14, 15, 16-year-old Sacramento Kings team hiding somewhere.
Well, you'd have to, right. There. You would establish these things. Yeah, that would be part of it.
Yeah. So no, I wish they did that fully. You know, again, the Sac Republic have their, their team, their lower level team, of high school kids or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Like their academy. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like, again, talking about Manchester United, they have Marcus Rashford on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think he signed when he was six, either six or eight with Man U. And he's been in their academy since then.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. But I mean, he's played in every tournament like U13, yeah. U15, U18, mm-hmm. whatever, U19 stuff, whatever. He's played for their team forever, their academy.
Mm-hmm.
So you do have these ties, and I get what you're saying, but I think soccer here in the States could actually help. Like that would help build the game a lot faster,
mm-hmm.
and help strengthen the game. Strengthen
soccer?
Yeah, but in order to do that here in the States, you'd have to have a lot more money flowing into the soccer world in order mm-hmm. to build those programs.
Well, that's why I think you could do it in basketball.
Yeah.
Because you do have that money going into the AAU circuit already. The NBA just signed a $77 billion
yes.
television deal.
It's a lot.
Like there's, so I don't know. It's just with all the different ways that Adam Silver is trying to implement these European soccer ideas, European football ideas, it wouldn't shock me if that's something that, if they have a giant whiteboard of ideas, if that's on their whiteboard of ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, Ken Flick says MLS already does this, but not to the same degree. Like I know, like even I knew a kid who played for the San Jose Earthquakes Academy. Mm-hmm. So that was like 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. But like not to the extent of what we see in European soccer,
mm-hmm.
like where they literally yeah. are signing like
yeah like, children
yeah children all mm-hmm. the time
yeah. yeah. I don't know. We'll see. Brandon Ayuk, no news. So what's going on?
Nothing.
So I mentioned this earlier. There's he gets traded, he signs, or there's another option here where he goes, I would rather play out my fifth year option with the 49ers. I'd rather bet on myself here. I can get tagged next offseason,
mm-hmm.
but we can go through all this again. Where maybe he goes out and maybe he goes for 1,500 yards and 10 touchdowns. And now all of a sudden, hey, he's top of market money, no question, and the 49ers are ready to shell it out. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe he has a year, the Niners go and try and win a Super Bowl, and there's no amount of money that they're going to pay him, and so they tag him and then trade him next offseason.
Mm.
Like, that's the other option here. It's just playing on your fifth year. That runs a ton of risk. You saw Dre Greenlaw. Tear his Achilles in the Super Bowl.
Mm.
You get all the way there and have one wrong step and all of a sudden your free agent value plummets.
Yeah, you're out for basically a year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some news. Rudy Gobert said he injured his left ring finger in practice 2 days ago and had surgery on it yesterday, which limited his minutes against Canada. Interesting.
Dang. So
that's why Rudy Gobert did not start. And why he did not play major minutes.
That's a development. How long is he going to be out? Or limited?
I don't know.
And if he's limited, he already can't catch. No, he can't use his left hand?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's Yikes. Not a good thing.
He should have cut off the tip of his finger.
That's right.
I love that that's just the solution for all finger injuries. Just cut.
that's what a field hockey pro would do.
Dude. I'm in on field hockey, by the way. I think that's the thing I've learned the most about myself during these Olympics. I'm in on field hockey.
I also would love to watch the hammer throw because it's so crazy. I had a boss years ago that had gone to the Olympic trials for hammer throwing. And he had like pictures of himself, like, which were the most ridiculous things of all time. Like it was probably like 15 years or 10 years earlier, but like big hair and like his excellent 70s outfit.
Love it for him.
Spectacular.
Love it for him.
Yeah. And that was not a clean sport.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
No one at that point was like the doping had not caught up. What's up, man?
Oh, Damian Marling in the building. It's time for the handoff. What's up, man?
What's going on?
Oh, chilling, you know, watching a little soccer today, talking about Brandon Ayuk.
There you go. Yeah, well.
The Brandon Ayuk stuff is starting to feel like the Lauri Markkanen stuff to me, where we're going to start hearing reports, but they're all going to be vaguely the same. Like, I saw a report from Adam So Matt Maiocco last night says, hey, framework of a deal with the Patriots and Browns. It's Browns, Patriots, Commanders, Steelers. Those are the teams that Brandon Ayuk has permission to talk to. And you get the Adam Schefter report this morning. Source, the same thing Maiocco reported. But then also the Niners are now taking calls. So is it okay? Like all with Lauri Markkanen, all the cards were out there. Everybody knows what the deals are. Everybody knows he can be extended. They can pull the trigger on a trade, whatever. But the reporting kept coming out that, oh, now this offer, or is it this offer? And that just feels like where we're going with Brandon Ayuk.
Yes.
You can disagree
with
me.
No,
okay.
It's an interesting comp. I think the Lauri Markkanen thing was never real.
Yeah.
I don't believe it was real. Like, I'm not questioning people's reporting. I think there was a lot around Lauri Markkanen that was fake. I think there are I just think a lot of this stuff was fake. I don't think Lauri Markkanen was ever getting traded.
Well, and that's a little bit what I mean.
And so you don't think Brandon Ayuk is getting traded?
Not without. I think there was if the Kings had called and said, hey, here's Keegan Murray and all these picks, then yeah, Lauri Markkanen is getting traded.
So let's try this. Why are we going this way?
Why is this happening? Because the 49ers know Brandon Ayuk doesn't want to get traded. So this is their leverage play. They're going, okay, because look, they give him permission to go to four teams and negotiate deals. Browns, Patriots, Commanders, Steelers. He wanted to go to the Commanders and Steelers. And, oh, nope, no deal with those. No deal with those teams. But these two other teams you have no interest in. Yeah, no, framework's out there. Yeah, go ahead. You ball's in your court, dog. You decide where you're going to play. That's they're going, hey.
Or the flip side to that is.
Here's our offer. Or you can be traded.
Or the flip side to that is that the San Francisco 49ers went about it themselves to, okay, Cleveland, do you have any interest in paying Amari Cooper, for argument's sake, $30 million? Sure, he's a young wide receiver. No, we like him. Cool. Here's what it would take to get him. Amari Cooper and a second round pick. Oh, yeah, we do that. We never really liked Amari. He's really exceeded our expectations. But if we could replace Brandon Ayuk with Amari Cooper with Brandon Ayuk, yeah, we do that in a second. Great. You do the same thing with the New England Patriots. It's like, okay, this is the benchmark for the deal. If we can't get that same deal, a player who can step into your role right now and a draft pick from those two teams that you seem to like and you swear love you back, well, then I can't help you. But this is the benchmark for the trade right here. If Pittsburgh and Washington can't meet this benchmark, there's no conversation to be had. So we could put the ball in Brandon Ayuk's court if you want to, or we could believe that that's what's happening with the San Francisco 49ers, but the 49ers may have executed. Maybe they have gone out with it. I don't care what Brandon Ayuk wants. We're going to put together this deal. And if nothing else, Brandon Ayuk is going to learn, hey, this team might want you, but they don't want you that bad. They don't want you bad enough to keep you away from Cleveland. They don't want you bad enough to keep you away from New England. So you think that they love you and they'll treat you right because we're doing you wrong. But in actuality, they won't. When push comes to shove, they won't. And that could have been the 49ers play.
I kind of like the idea of...
This whole thing is dirty, by the way. This is awful. I think Brandon Ayuk handled himself poorly leading into this. I think there's a million other ways he could have gone about getting his point across other than what we did. And what the 49ers are doing right now is gross.
It's true.
And I'm not going to fault them because Brandon Ayuk started this. So, like, I just... they're both wrong. Like they have both handled this so, so poorly. Mm-hmm. And to see like Mayoko and then this dude, Mike Silver is such.
That was wild. That's a wild, bro. That was a wild tour.
I'll fall back because I don't know who's friends with who. So that's an interesting dude, man. It's an interesting dude.
Off air conversation we can have for sure.
I keep envisioning like John Lynch sitting there and just picking up his phone saying, "Hello, Don, what's your offer?" And hanging up. And then, "Hey, Don, what's your offer?" And then hanging up. And just listening to every offer in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I'll take them all.
Yeah.
Like if he's one of Kyle's callers over there.
Yep.
Just like.
It's Don on the line.
Don on the line.
Yeah. And that's, and the Niners going, great, we have a framework worked out.
Yep.
Yeah, we got these deals. Okay, Browns. Here's the thing, and Mayoko's also reporting that the Patriots are going to pay him a lot.
Mm.
Patriots are paying what he wants. But Ayuk has to accept that. And the Niners are going, okay, fine. You go get $30 million a year and go play with Drake May.
Yeah, because that's going great. Yeah, the Drake May's camp is going fantastic. The reports coming out of Foxborough are amazing. Ooh, like, right. What could go wrong for Brandon Ayuk should he sign that deal?
Right, and that's what the 49ers aren't budging off whatever number they're on. So they're going, okay, fine. Your trade request?
Who was the Yankee that signed with the Mariners again? Was it Robinson Cano?
Yes.
Yeah, go be Robinson Cano, Brandon Ayuk. Go do that.
Yeah.
Go sign with the Mariners because they're going to give you money. You'll be crying about it later. And I don't fault. I do not fault Brandon Ayuk for wanting money.
No.
But like, what are we really, really talking about? Are we talking $27 to $28 million playing for the San Francisco 49ers per year
mm-hmm.
versus $30 million playing with the New England Patriots?
Yeah.
Bro, you are going to bury yourself in New England. Like, that is not the move for you right now. I don't buy into this Commander stuff either. I don't think the Commanders are a good football team. If you land in Cleveland, okay. I don't love it, but mm-hmm. it's of all of these situations, it's probably the best.
Good luck playing in the snow, though.
Yeah, you're not in California anymore, my guy.
Yeah.
But
that's the case in Pittsburgh and Washington, too, so I don't know. I like the idea that everybody's like, oh, I don't want to live in Cleveland. I'm like, you've been to Santa Clara. You hung out. You spent a lot of time in Santa Clara. It's not like cracking out there.
No,
San Jose is downtown. San Jose is fun.
Really want to pull up to that stadium next to the industrial offices.
I've never been to Cleveland. I have no.
I wish it was rocking on
Saturday.
It didn't go down this path. This path just feels from both sides. You're right. But it's kind of like the pattern that the Niners have done time and time again. So I'm going to put more weight on their failures in this because this is how they do business.
Well, I also, mm-hmm. like, I can't fault Matt Mayoko because I don't feel like he did anything wrong in his reporting. Like,
he just
kind of is like, this is where it's at. And, yeah, you can probably connect where I'm getting this information from, but this is where it's at. Silver, that's just like, if you're Mike Silver, at some point, like, exercise some discretion here.
That was a full blown.
It was like
that's not in depth reporting. That was just a shot at a player.
It blurs the lines between are you reporting or are you relaying something someone said to you?
Yes.
And that's the, and more so because what I think doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
What we think doesn't matter.
Sure.
But what does Brandon Ayuk think when he reads that? Because he almost certainly knows where Matt Mayoko's information is coming mm-hmm. from. When he sees Silver put that tweet out about being an adult, where do you think he thinks that came from? And now you have a situation that's already volatile, getting worse because the way we've all decided to play this out through the media. Again, Brandon Ayuk is not absolved of this,
mm-hmm.
but man, this is just it's just such a bad look.
I was trying to discuss
it feels so unnecessary.
I was trying to discuss this earlier as we had about 30 seconds there, but I was trying to, how different would we feel about this if this was all happening before the draft? Would this be like, oh yeah, typical posturing, typical that they're just doing this in the media? It's just, this is what happens usually then. It's just happening in camp because of the way the Niners went about this. And that's where I feel like they failed.
Yeah, there's failures across the board this entire offseason for the San Francisco 49ers and Brandon Ayuk.
You know who's not going to fail? D'Lo and Casey, that's coming up next. What do you guys got?
Trista Crickett, too. Jason Jones will obviously talk a lot about Brandon Ayuk. The men's basketball team is going to play coming up here. Yeah, watch party, baby. Coming up in about 30 minutes. Mm. That's been by far my favorite thing of the Olympics so far.
It's so fun to watch you guys watch basketball. That's D'Lo and KC watch party.
You
should have
watched us watching the triathlon yesterday. Oh, that was a blast as all these women were coming across and just dying. Get these people some help. This poor woman is like hanging over the edge of this thing. Like the lady who was working at Popeyes, will someone help her? No one. Someone like offered her some water.
Get her a towel, some water.
Nothing.
Anything?
Nothing. Just bodies lying everywhere. Like it's Dennis Rodman's living room. Like, come on, man.
D'Lo and KC coming up next. That's James M. Kyle. We're the Insiders. Back tomorrow at 10. Until then, drink water and be nice to people. Bye.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.